Another day, and sadly another list of education rankings with Nevada at the bottom. According to data from the Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System, Nevada ranks last for students who complete their college degree in 4 years. Less than 9% of Nevada college students graduate in those 4 years, compared to the state that does best, Virginia, where 46% of students finish within 4 years. Nevada is also at the bottom of the list for students who complete college at all. So what accounts for our dismal graduation rates, and what can be done to improve them? Joining us to talk about this is a number of people, but first I want to talk to William McCurdy. He's the student president at the College of Southern Nevada. William, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're the student body president, obviously not an underachiever, but you found your way to the College of Southern Nevada after an interruption to your academic career. Tell us why you left high school early.
My journey was a bit interesting. When I was 17, I was heavily into sports. I was playing basketball and running track at Palo Verde High School. And I got a really interesting surprise. I found out that I had a child on the way. Upon finding this out, I was on track to graduate, had all the credits that I need to fulfill my stay there at Palo Verde. But I didn't have what I needed to pass my proficiency test, math. And that kind of put me in a mind state to where I was like, man, what am I going to do? I was studying and I failed the test more than once. And so me knowing that I had a child on the way, I had to make a tough decision. And I decided to get a job and take care of my child. Upon doing so, I didn't go back to school.
Okay, so you decided that you had these responsibilities, you had to drop out of high school, take a job. Why did you decide to go back to school?
Well, after working 4 years in the construction industry, local laborers, I made some pretty good money. And when the economy hit in 2009, I realized, hey, I'm still pretty young and I've accomplished a lot. I've been a foreman starting at the age of 19 for over 3 or 4 years, and I'm like, I have something to give, and I wanted to leave a legacy for my child. Being that I'm a first-generation student to go to college and potentially the first one to graduate college, I thought that I owed it to my child to do so.
So you're the first in your family to go to college. Well, how is the rest of your family reacting to that? How do they feel about that?
They're excited, and they are, you know, giving me support that I need to do so.
Now, you were at CSN. What kind of support did you get as a returning student, as an older student, going to CSN?
From my family and peers, they were 100% behind me, and you know, they're supporting me through everything I've done. But from the college perspective, I met someone here who really took me under her wing, and she basically nurtured me. You know, coming at 24, I didn't know what to expect. I was kind of intimidated by this whole college atmosphere, especially being that I was out of school over 6 years. And so she took me in and showed me around and got me ready, and that's where I am today.
So you had this one-on-one relationship, but was that kind of just a lucky break that you managed to get?
Yes, from what I've heard from the students, it's for me, it's lucky.
And your original plan, I mean, you said you wanted to leave a legacy, but did you really mean to finish college in 4 years?
I wanted to finish a little bit sooner, but because I am, you know, a father who's, you know, providing for a child, it's, you know, obstacles, trials, and tribulations may happen. So, you know, amongst doing so, you have to, you know, tailor things and, you know, adjust your schedule to make sure that you are able to complete.
So give us an example of the kind of obstacles you face on a day-to-day basis.
Well, going to school, you have to work as well. So, you know, I had to balance school and work, and then have to take on another job. So I'm working two jobs trying to go to school, and I don't want to quit school because it took me so long to get in.
But do you find yourself sometimes going to the professor and saying, I need an extension because I've got all these other things going on?
Most definitely. And here at CSN, I've had some awesome professors that are more than willing to work with you when you're going through, and, you know, they want to see you succeed. So, you know, being that I had that kind of support system around me is what helped me, you know, be able to maintain my stay here at CSN.
And so when you hear these numbers of how few people actually manage to make it out in 4 years, you actually understand a lot about why that's happening?
Yes, I definitely understand. understand, because this is a non-traditional college.
Also joining us on the program this morning is Stan Jones. He's the president of Complete College America. Stan, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you.
Well, why are college graduation rates so important?
Well, as a country, we've done a phenomenal job on sending more people to college. And we set a record in the midst of the recession. But unfortunately, only about half of those that start college will finish college. And so there's a lot of untapped potential there that would help us in our economy, as well as the people that dropped out don't have the same economic future that those that actually got a college degree.
Well, in terms of economics, what are the costs to us of having high numbers of college dropouts?
Well, I think they're pretty significant. The country is internationally competing. We used to be first in the world. We are no longer first in the world. And it's primarily because our younger generation is not being, for the first time ever, will not be as well educated as their parents.
I mean, we've just heard the story of William McCurdy. He's a young man taking a non-traditional path. What are the problems with that?
Well, he's an exception. And most people taking a non-traditional path don't graduate. Now, obviously, there are some that do, but they're the exceptions. The ones that do graduate at much higher rates are those that go full-time, that take 15 credit hours each semester, that go continuously. Those students are dramatically more likely to graduate. For students like him, it will only be because of his persistence that he will be successful.
So what you're saying is that there are many students who graduate leave college with large debt, but without actually having a degree.
Right, and as you know, the debt has tripled in the last 10 years, and there is now more student loan debt than there is credit card debt, which I found hard to believe.
Also joining us is Mamie Voigt. She's Director of Research for the Institute of Higher Education Policy. Mamie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, your organization emphasizes the importance of making a college education accessible. Should all Americans, in fact, aspire to get a college degree?
Absolutely. Any student who is qualified and wants to attend college should absolutely have that opportunity to attend college, and we should work to make sure that that our educational system is preparing every student to be able to attend college if they choose to. You know, Stan cited some of those numbers about graduation rates for students today, and what we see in the numbers is that low-income students, first-generation students, and students of color often graduate at far lower rates than their classmates because they need those additional supports, financial supports, and social supports in order to succeed in college.
Well, explain to us some of those strategies that you think are necessary to help people who haven't been able to succeed in traditional college patterns to do so.
Sure. Well, financial aid is absolutely part of the picture here. College, it is getting more and more expensive, and we see that low-income students today actually face about $12,000 in unmet need, even after you've taken into account all of the grants and scholarships that they've received, just to go to a four-year college for 1 year. So that's an immense amount of money to be able to finance from a low income. And so many students end up turning to loans. But what states can do and what institutions can do is make sure that they're really focusing their financial aid dollars on the students who need the most support. So making sure that their grants and scholarships are going to low-income students who can access and succeed in college without that assistance.
Well, also joining us in the studio now is Glenn Cook. He's a columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Glenn, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here, Ian.
Now, you've written that everyone should get a the idea that everyone should get a college degree is outdated. You say it's as bad as thinking that everyone should own their own house. But doesn't a college degree guarantee more opportunities and higher salaries? Shouldn't everyone be aspiring to that?
Well, not necessarily. You know, I think that there are you see an increasing shortage in areas of the workforce that don't require a college diploma that pay very good incomes, especially as it relates to the service industry, you know, air conditioning and heating technicians, plumbers. Car repair today is such a highly specialized and technical field that people who enter these trades can earn a very good living as well. And there are opportunities for young people to enter these area of the workforce without accruing the kind of debt that they will if they enter an institution of higher education.
Now, when you talk about that, there are obviously jobs that have to be done here in town. But when Stan and Mamie are talking about this, they're talking about international competition. What do we do about that? Isn't that something that there are going to be people who did jobs that used to be done in America that can't be done in America anymore? So won't they need a college education?
Well, I mean, yes, there certainly are a lot of fields where a college education and an advanced college degree are exceptionally important. But I think this whole discussion starts with preparation at the K-12 level. You know, you can talk about, for example, you know, that people who stay on track, who don't leave school, the people who do that are more likely to finish within 4 years. It's also true that your highest achieving high school students are a lot more likely to complete high school. The higher the SAT score, the higher the GPA, the more prepared you are for the rigors, especially of a university level education, the more likely you are to finish on time. So if you don't first adequately prepare people at the K-12 level for the levels, especially of a university education, you can't expect them to graduate, especially graduate within 4 years.
Sure, but don't we have some responsibility for equaling the playing field, flattening it out so that people who don't have all those advantages in high school can at least have a shot at the college degree?
Well, of course we do. And that's why I myself and writing editorials for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, we've advocated for a very strong 2-year college system. And William is a classic example of the role that the College of Southern Nevada and other 2-year schools play in this. The worst thing you can do for someone who is marginally prepared or unprepared for a university education, in my opinion, is convince them that they belong in a university setting where they quickly find that they're not prepared for university-level coursework. If they're not prepared, they're just as likely to drop out as someone who doesn't have the money to pay for it in the first place. So the role of the community college system is to not only provide smaller class sizes and opportunities for students who, for example, need remedial coursework, who didn't have as high a GPA or as high achievement level at the high school level, for these students to get interaction with a professor and to complete their courses at a much, much lower tuition. So they're not accruing a massive amount of debt. They're completing their general education requirements, and to show that they can finish, an associate's degree, that they can finish what they started, better prepare them for a university-level education for those 300, 400-level credits and beyond, and save them a lot of money as well in achieving that 4-year degree.
Okay, we've heard a lot of thoughts about what should happen at 2- and 4-year colleges. One of the people in the hot seat is the Academic Affairs Provost at UNLV, Carl Reiber, and he joins us now in the studio. Carl, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you heard that statistic at the front of the program that the graduation rate is the worst in the country. What does UNLV do to try and keep students on track and graduating on time?
We've really embarked upon a sort of full court press to increase our graduation rates. A number of years ago, when President Neil Simatrix first came to UNLV, he created the Academic Success Center, which has moved our graduation rates up remarkably. Dean Ann McDonough provides free tutoring for all students. She takes students who are undeclared and works with them intensely, has academic success coaches, etc. More recently, UNLV completely redesigned its general education curriculum, adopting many high-impact practices that have an impact on students who might not succeed. And so we created a first-year seminar, which is an academically rich course, but also provides students with success elements, study skills, academic advising input, et cetera. A second year seminar, which really pushes reading and writing at a high level. And then this moves forward into their major. We have a milestone experience and a culminating experience that looks at students who are getting ready to graduate, that makes sure that they've learned what they're supposed to be learning. In addition, we've created a math learning center, which is really focusing on an area that students have a great deal of trouble. We're creating new courses that allow students to progress better. In fact, the campus has embarked this last year on what's called a retention, progression, completion effort. We're examining all aspects of our practices to assure that we're doing our students the best service possible to get them moving through and completing.
Okay, I mean, UNLV is doing what it can with all of those things you've just listed to help students get those 15 credits per semester that they need to graduate on time. Is that setting the bar, though, kind of low? Just if I'm admitted to UNLV, shouldn't I expect access to classes I need for a major rather than just getting more credits?
So you mentioned the 15 credits. Let me put things in a broader context. You interviewed an individual from Complete College America. The state of Nevada has adopted the Complete College America goals. One of them is 15 credits per semester. If you take 15 credits, the right 15 credits each semester, you should be able to graduate in 4 years. Now, we've also adopted at UNLV a block scheduling that allows students entering as freshmen to get not just the 15 credits, but the right 15 credits for their major. In essence, what we're doing is we're guaranteeing our incoming freshmen the courses they need appropriate to their major so that they can progress. This sets them off on the right foot. And what we're seeing is that our continuing student numbers are up. The number of credits our students are taking is up. And so the practices that we're adopting, some of them national practices, some of them very tailored to our demographic. UNLV has the 8th most diverse student body in the country. We're quite proud of that. It makes a very dynamic campus, but also adds some challenges because we do have a lot of first-generation students that need that extra help. They need to be shown how to be successful. That's the first-year seminar in the Academic Success Center. But they also then need a lot of mentoring and advising. And so we have advising centers in each of the colleges to help the students.
Glenn Cook, I mean, you were skeptical a minute ago about these kind of programs. You just heard what Carl Reiber said about all the different ways in which UNLV is trying to help its students. Are you still skeptical?
Oh, I don't think my remarks were meant to reflect skepticism of the university's ability to help push students through. I'm just saying that I'm skeptical, and I question the number of students who over the years consistently have been admitted, not just to UNLV, but to other universities, state universities across the country, who just aren't prepared for a university-level education. Now, that said, I think UNLV is doing a lot of the right things, and one of the most important things that I think UNLV did a few years ago was to stop providing remedial coursework, essentially to stop reteaching high school classes to college students and to force those students to complete those credits at the College of Southern Nevada. That was an important statement to say, look, we're a four-year university with the goal of achieving Tier 1 status. We need to stop teaching high school classes to our students when they come in. Now, I'd also like to add, for what it's worth, I find the goal today, especially at the state university level, of suggesting that if a student doesn't complete a degree in 4 years, that is some kind of failure. I did my undergraduate degree almost 25 years ago. I didn't finish in 4 years. I finished in 4.5 doing summer school every summer because I had to work full time while I went to school. I don't think it was a mark on me that it took me that extra semester to finish out. And especially at an institution like UNLV, where, as we've discussed, you have so many students who are the first in their family to attend a four-year university, and so many students have to carry some level of a job while they're doing their studies. In my mind, if it takes 5.5 years for some students to finish, if they're finishing, that matters a lot more than whether they finish in 4 years to me.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the low rate of four-year graduation at Nevada colleges. Nevada ranks worst in the country, with less than 10% of students completing their degrees in the regulation four-year period. We've got Carl Reiber, who's Academic Affairs Provost at UNLV. Glenn Cook is a columnist with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. William McCurdy is Student President at CSN. And I want to turn now again to Mamie Voigt to talk about this quality issue of quality versus quantity. We want as many students who want a college education to get one, but we also don't want watered down curriculums. How do you address that issue, Mamie Voigt?
Something that we really see among successful colleges that have seen increases in graduation rates, shrinking of gaps between different student groups in terms of graduation rates, is that they're really intensely focused on data and using data throughout all of their work to make sure that students are achieving at higher levels, both in terms of quality and quantity. So they're looking at their graduation rates, sure, their six-year and their four-year graduation rates, but they're also looking at more fine-grained data to really evaluate what programs and practices are working for their students, trying to identify barriers that are preventing students from succeeding despite their high academic qualifications. Sometimes those bureaucracies get in the way, and the data can really help enlighten some of those issues so that the barriers can be removed and students can have a higher chance of success. Because we do see that even top-performing low-income students today have about the same chance of attaining a bachelor's degree as low-achieving high-income students do. So it's not all about academic preparation. We're actually seeing that that those high-achieving, low-income students aren't able to meet their highest potential, and often it's because there are some of these challenges in the way other than just the academic preparation challenges.
Ms. Dan Jones, you're president of Complete College America. You heard Carl Reiber of UNLV just say that they've adopted the 15-credit standard. What else should a school like UNLV be doing to try and boost graduation rates?
Well, I'm very pleased at what they're doing at the university and indeed statewide. The Higher Education Board of Regents has launched 15 to finish as well. And I was thrilled to hear him talk about block scheduling. That can produce tremendous results. And credit
Why is that? What does the block scheduling do?
Is very important. I think they're doing the right kind of things. The other thing they're doing, and they're doing across the state, is paying a lot of attention to remediation. We have significant numbers of students that start in remediation, especially, the lower income, first generation students. And so there's strategies that are happening in your state to more quickly get those students into college-bearing classes. So they have a better chance to graduate. I also wanted to comment very briefly on what Glenn was saying earlier about college. I think all of us look at college very broadly and certainly include the community colleges as a key part of options that students have. And we've pushed, and the state has pushed, certificate programs in the very areas that he talked about, plumbing, the traditional trades, in medical areas, and the state for the first time is counting certificates in their count in terms of students achieving some educational objective. And so the state is doing a lot. We're very impressed. We're very impressed with the university. But we have a huge hill to climb in terms of having more students get credentials.
Carl Reiber, you have a monitoring system in place to follow how successful a student has been in his major. What if they're not successful? What do your counselors advise people then who aren't apparently succeeding in their coursework?
So, as you said, we do have monitoring systems from the sort of the human level monitoring systems, which is the advising centers, up through our Office of Decision Support, which tracks students in categories. We're just implementing an Educational Advisory Board Student Success Collaborative bit of software, which is an analytical package that we can track students. All that said, it really does come down to the interactions between the students and the faculty. If a student isn't doing well, they need to engage with their faculty, and the faculty need to engage with the student.
But isn't that part of being one of the first generation to go to college? You sort of are not sure how to work with a professor, not sure that you can confidently go and say, look, I need more help, or can you talk us through this subject again because I didn't get what you were saying in class?
Absolutely. When students have no history in their family or their friends of going to college, it can be very intimidating. And that's why, as I said earlier, that we created the first year seminar, which exposes students to those types of questions and the environment so that they're less intimidated. The advisors, we have mandatory advising, so the advisors, when a student comes in and tells them that they're having problems, they encourage them to see the faculty. But we also have outstanding faculty who are willing to engage the students when they start to see that there's some problems there. And what we find in many instances is the problems are not necessarily associated with the student's inability to do the work. They usually have other extenuating circumstances. Financial aid. Maybe they're having girlfriend or boyfriend problems. We have students at UNLV that are homeless. And so we have to really look at the entire student package, so to speak, in order to dig down and find out what the problems are and how we can intervene. And we have those safety nets in place so that when we identify those problems, we can work with the student to do the best we can to move them in the right direction.
But if people are having personal problems or they're homeless, financial problems, how much can the school really do to fix those issues?
A surprisingly amount. We have scholarships for students. Sometimes students are completely unaware of the scholarships that are available. And so many instances they're trying to fight a battle all alone. And once they come in for help, we can point them in directions where they can receive financial aid, scholarships, grants that can pull them out of that problem area. We have counseling for students that are having problems. 18 to 22, 23 is a challenging time frame for students. They have, they're sorting life out. And so we have psychological counseling for students. We have family counseling for students that can help move them in a direction where they're on a more sound footing.
Let's talk back now to William McCurdy. He's a student at CSN and the student body president there. When you decided to go back to school, how important was the lure of that higher salary, the usual incentive for people to go to college or university?
It was extremely important, and I was transitioning from a point to where I was already making really good money, or in my eyes to what I thought to be. But the idea that I could excel from where I was, which would catapult me into a whole nother tax bracket, so to speak, was extremely exciting. I'm a firm believer that you have to take an opportunity of a lifetime, and this lifetime of opportunity. So I saw an opportunity for me to enhance who I was already, becoming. So that helped me to transition into school and, hold on to the idea that if you work hard, and you persevere and you're persistent without ceasing, you can definitely become who you want to be.
Well, let's talk about that persistence. I mean, do you have a kind of professional goal? You want to go to graduate school? What are your plans?
I have big plans, actually. I want to go to UNLV, first finish here at CSN, which I am on track to do, transfer and go to UNLV, stay in my hometown, get a bachelor's in healthcare administration, and from there, I want to go to law school. And my overall goal is to become a CEO of a hospital.
But you're looking at like another 6 or 8 years in school before you start working?
Another 6 or 8 years of persistence. And in the meantime, I understand and I'm aware that I will have to work my way through. I understand it will not be easy. My journey to where I am now hasn't been easy thus far. So a little more perseverance and persistence and just grinding it out and just keep my eye on the prize. I know that it may take some time, but like anything else, time does pass, and if you stay persistent, you will achieve what you want. I believe that.
Glenn Cook, you've just heard William's got his eye on the prize here, but you've said a lot of people don't, that tuition keeps going up, and it's really often not worth it for people to finish college. Is that what you see now?
Well, I don't necessarily think that for every student, the idea that once they're in that it's not worth finishing. I mean, especially if you've already started accruing debt and you've made sacrifices to pay tuition, it more than likely is in your best interest to finish. But again, what William is doing is he's doing it the smart way. He's done it the smart way because he's started at the College of Southern Nevada with tuition that's much more affordable than even UNLV and any other institution, especially out of state. You know, the financial hardships of going to school today are frightening. I don't think I'm using that word lightly. I have three children. Trying to plan for them if they choose to go to college and college is the right thing for them. You know, it's going to be tens and tens of thousands of dollars for each of them to complete school by the time they reach that point. So you have to come up with a strategy, in my mind, that measures affordability and weighs it against likelihood of success and completion. And two, coming up with a plan that allows you to complete your education with as little debt as possible, preferably no debt at all if you can figure out a way to get it done. Because as one of your guests mentioned earlier in the program, you know, student loan debt now exceeds credit card debt. It's crippling. And if you have to make those kind of payments when you finish school, when you're out there looking for work, it can really set back your climb up the economic ladder.
William McCurdy, I've only got about 10 seconds left, but your children are obviously going to be second generation. Are they on track to go to college too?
I am definitely paving a way as we speak. And the way that, you know, things are going with the tuition and fee increases, of if something isn't done at the next level, it will be a problem. But it's up to me to pave that way and to work hard and to ensure that they will have an opportunity to go to college.
Well, we've been talking about different strategies to try and fix the low graduation rate in Nevada colleges. Our thanks to Carl Reiber, he's Academic Affairs Provost at UNLV. Glenn Cook is a columnist at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. William McCurdy is a student at CSN and the student body president. Manny Voigt is Director of Policy Research at the Institute for Higher Education. And Stan Jones is President of Complete College America. Thank you all.